From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made on Sunday afternoon when comedian and talk show host Ellen DeGeneres went to a football game. Ellen was invited by the daughter of Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones, and she sat with her wife Portia in the owner's suite. During the game, a photo of Ellen went viral. She was sitting next to former President George W. Bush, and both were laughing. They were clearly having a nice time together. During the game, that photo reached a lot of people, and feedback starts flowing immediately. Now, some are saluting Ellen for showing grace next to a man who has advocated against her rights. Others criticized Ellen, saying George W. Bush was responsible for a lot of suffering, and socializing with him is a mistake. Ellen responded on her show, and in a moment, we'll play the clip for you. In it, she says she believes that we can be kind to everyone. And yes, that means everyone, including people with very different points of view. Our guests will discuss the great Ellen debate of 2019. And in studio, we welcome our guests now. Daniel Ponder is a musician, a singer, an attorney, and it's great to have you back in studio, Daniel. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us is Colin Coffey, a small business owner. His business is called Renewing Massage in the South Wedge. Welcome back to you, Colin.
Thank you, Evan.
Also with us is Reverend Matthew Martin Nikoloff, pastor of the South Wedge Mission. It's a South Wedge day, Pastor. Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And with us is Penny Sterling, a storyteller, co-host of Transformation Thursday podcast. Welcome back to you as well, Penny.
Thank you. And I'm from Swilburg, so just by one.
So let me go ahead, if we could, and listen to Ellen in her own words here. This is part of her response to the criticism that she sat with George W. Bush, took a picture with him, laughed with him, and has a friendship with him. Let's listen.
During the game, they showed a shot of George and me laughing together. And so people were upset. They thought, why is a gay Hollywood liberal sitting next to a conservative Republican president? Didn't even notice I'm holding the brand new iPhone 11. And but a lot of people were mad, and they did what people do when they're mad. They tweet. And but here's one tweet that I loved. This person says, Ellen and George Bush together makes me have faith in America again. And exactly. Here's the thing. I'm friends with George Bush. In fact, I'm friends with a lot of people who don't share the same beliefs that I have. We're all different, and I think that we've forgotten that that's okay that we're all different. For instance, I wish people wouldn't wear fur. I don't like it, but I'm friends with people who wear fur. And I'm friends with people who are furry, as a matter of fact. I have friends who should tweeze more. And I have... But just because I don't agree with someone on everything doesn't mean that I'm not going to be friends with them. When I say be kind to one another, I don't mean only the people that think the same way that you do. I mean be kind to everyone. Doesn't matter.
So let me go ahead and read a little bit of the kind of feedback we've gotten and that's been flowing. And then I want all of our guests to kind of open the floor. I'm going to leave the room. I'll come back in an hour and it'll have been productive, I think. Jason writes to us the following. Jason says, in the end, wealth and social status are more significant commonalities than beliefs about human rights. The rich and powerful are happy to hobnob with the rich and powerful, even if that means sharing nachos with a war criminal who also spent years demeaning the LGBTQ community. Susan writes, I don't disagree that he made terrible decisions as president, but her relationships are her business. Do we now hate her for that? They were just out enjoying a football game. Move on. This nonsense is ridiculous and precisely what's wrong with society today. Stop spreading hate. Mo says, look, lady, he is literally directly responsible for the deaths of hundreds of thousands. And yes, I literally hate anyone who would voluntarily associate with a mass murderer. Phil says, good thing Gandhi, MLK, or Jesus aren't around today or they'd be hella canceled. So there you go. And Andrew says the following. I'm torn. I think it's true that it's a reflection of shared privilege. Yet while I'm no fan of Bush and wouldn't expect any LGBTQ people to sit down next to him, if he was shunned by the entire community and never had an opportunity to meet them as humans, would he ever change his mind? Ultimately, I think that if she's willing to spend time building a relationship like that and eventually uses that relationship capital to bring up difficult conversations with him in the future, then I'd be supportive. That's just a sampling. Let's go around the table, and I'm just going to go right to left here. Not politically, it's just in the room. Pastor Nikoloff, I'll start with you for some brief opening remarks here. What did you make of the video, the picture, and Ellen's response to it?
Let's be honest. I think if I'm honest with myself, I'm more socially located closer to the former president and Jerry Jones than I am to Ellen in terms of the kinds of oppression and marginalization I've experienced because of who I am in the world. And so there's a part of me that really longs for that opportunity as someone who represents an institution, the church, which has done innumerable amounts of harm. There's a deep longing, I think, inside of each of us to reconcile and to make amends and to try to do better. And I would be really honored if someone that I had wronged or my institution had wronged. I'm always honored when someone who's part of the LGBTQ plus community gives us a chance as a church and listens to us. That's an honor because there's a longing for healing, a longing to be part of something that's better than what was handed to us or better than we've been before. At the same time, I would never force that on anybody because I'm not allowed to put somebody in a position to visit more harm or damage to them. So I can absolutely understand why, even if this was an okay situation for Ellen, and again, who can tell what Ellen or George Bush or anyone is thinking about, I think to tell people you should be okay with this is to disrespect the kind of irreducible individuality and uniqueness of each person's experience. So again, from my standpoint as probably someone who's more in the oppressor class than in the oppressed class, it means a lot when there's opportunities to try to make amends. I also think there needs to be a willingness to say, look, I messed up, and like, how can I make this better versus pretending like everything's okay? And Ellen was pretty glib about that. You know, comparing it to furs and iPhones is different than some of the atrocities that have been visited on people of different identities and sexualities because of ideology. And certainly, again, it's no one's place to tell anyone else, validate their experience, or to try to ask them to prove how they're feeling. So if people are outraged, there's probably a story there that needs to be heard. And if people are feeling hopeful, there's probably also a story there that needs to be heard. But generalizing it into tweets and outrage culture, I think, you know, is what it is. But there's obviously a lot more complexity there, and I'm excited to hear how other people are experiencing it.
Okay. Penny, what do you think?
Oh, boy. It's at first, I was very upset when I saw the picture of them. But as I reflected on it, my question was, what else was she supposed to do in that situation? She didn't invite them. That's not hers. They were both guests in a situation. And from everything that I've heard about him, he's very charming. He's also fairly out of the picture politically, and she's a showman. What else could she have done? Could she have stormed out and not participated in there? I suppose. But it's one of those things where I she's sitting next to somebody that she disagreed with. And that wasn't anything that... That bothers me when you think about it that way.
How about her video message?
The video message, on the other hand, was, I thought, fairly tone deaf. I did not like... Well, she's a comedian, first off. She is a comedian, so she always has that veneer of funny that she puts in everything. She's an entertainer. She was in the middle of doing an entertainment event when she was talking about this. And that's just the way she defaults when she talks about things. But without ever explaining why there are differing, there's a difference between differing opinions and somebody who is actively trying to marginalize people, and to not address that and not talk about that was I thought a little bit off-putting. On the other hand, there's always another hand with me. You know, I've always said that. Prejudice is not what you do with the people you know, it's what you do with the people you don't know. Ellen is a very tireless campaigner for LGBTQ. She puts her money where her mouth is. She does all of these things because she chooses to be sociable to somebody that she may have an issue with politically, does not change any of that. She still is that same sort of caring human being. But at the end, she is an establishment comedian in a very establishment position, and she's trying to walk a middle ground, I think.
Okay. Colin Coffey, she talked about herself as a gay Hollywood liberal. You are not that. You're just a gay Rochester Englishman. But how do you would you have broken bread and taken a picture smiling with George W. Bush?
Don't call me an Englishman because my Irish parents might be listening.
Oh, I've learned that lesson about you. I've learned that lesson.
Yeah, I guess what's most shocking to me is I think Gore Vidal had a book that he entitled United States of Amnesia. And this seems to be a real a good case in point. No one's number one, Ellen is an out lesbian woman who's been on the front lines in the culture wars going back decades. And secondly, why is she being attacked in this way from the so-called left? I find it fascinating that one of the only public lesbian figures in our culture is she's not being attacked from the religious right for being with Bush. She's being attacked from people who are calling themselves on the left. I think this is a very good moment to reflect. Were those people, are they also calling for Michelle Obama to retract holding George W. Bush's hand at the funeral? Are they calling on Ruth Bader Ginsburg to renounce and apologize for speaking at Justice Scalia's funeral? There's a very short memory span here. What I find fascinating is people who call themselves on the left pushing really right-wing attitudes that go back to the 1970s moral majority, people who want shunning, shaming, cancel culture. And it's completely not part of what the lesbian and gay movement was, which is we want tolerance, we want forgiveness, we want people to have the chance to change their minds. And Ellen DeGeneres shouldn't be attacked in this way from the left, the so-called left, because I think their attitudes are reactionary and unhelpful and causing a reaction against the whole community. And I wonder as well, how many of those people attacking Ellen are even gay or lesbian? Have they been out for 20, 30 years? I think it's a case of social justice
to
warriors.
To be fair here, it's not just an LGBTQ issue. She is saying in her video, You all should be able to be kind to anybody.
Yeah, well, I think if Hillary Clinton can publicly admire Kissinger after his role in the Vietnam War, I think if Michelle Obama can hold George W. Bush's hand, why can't she, at a social occasion, as Penny pointed out, not stomp out and make a big deal out of it? Why is she, as a lesbian in that role, being attacked from people who call themselves left-wing? Mm-hmm. It always seems to be the case. And I think this reactionary fifth column inside the radical movement in the United States is becoming more and more of a problem because it's falsely representing our entire community as holding these beliefs and values, and we don't.
Okay. Daniel Ponder, go ahead.
So, I mean, first of all, I don't think anyone should attack Ellen. I don't think anyone should cancel Ellen. I think sometimes we go too far with that. But I think that people have their opinions. And I think what people, I'll say when I first saw it, my first thought before you had even emailed me about this, I had just watched it. And I said, it must be easy to do that from your position. It's easy to extend the olive branch from the penthouse. I wonder what Ellen would have done or what she would have said about George Bush when he was running on a constitutional amendment to make marriage between a man and woman. I wonder if she would have had that same feeling and been able to advocate for him as she did in that video. I think kindness, there's nothing wrong with saying let's be kind. I think we all should be kind. I had a guy from RG&E come to my house wearing a MAGA hat. I didn't say anything. I mean, I didn't cuss him out. I was nice to him, treated him like any other RG&E worker. But I think the problem with what Ellen says is she kind of, I guess Penny has said this already, she simplifies the nuances here, right? She really makes it seem like, well, we just have differences of opinions. Well, those opinions that George Bush had led to the killings of thousands of men, women, and children. It led to people in the LGBTQ community being ostracized and oppressed. It led to a recession that left people with their houses foreclosed on. It led to $1 trillion of spending to prop up military corporations, to prop up Halliburton. So I think what people are saying who are criticizing her is, hey, let's not rewrite history. So this is where I would take the amnesia part from. Let's not rewrite history and just act like this guy was just some regular guy on his sofa who was a conservative. No, this is the president of the United States who had policy that drastically impacted people, that killed someone's child, right? And so I don't think we can take away from that. But when you're a part of the privileged class or when you're a part of the elite class, it's easier to say that. Yeah. But, you know, George Clinton's policy landed my brother in jail for 20 years to life. That personally impacted me. He has since walked back his positions on the crime bill. But I can't say back then when he was railing and being tough on crime, I would want to hang out with him at a football game.
So there are a couple interesting points here. And listeners, if you want to weigh in throughout this hour, as we talk about kindness, perhaps its limits or limitlessness of kindness. I'm not really sure how to define this. It's kind of a conversation about how we view each other and what's okay in sort of polite society. You can do that in various platforms. A couple of things. I got an email this morning I want to read in just a moment. But a lot of people, Danielle, have been weighing and saying, don't forget the class part of this, because it's not just that, oh, Ellen's a lesbian woman. She's super protected by wealth and is less vulnerable, even if they rolled back laws, even if different things happen.
Right.
Do you see a class element to this?
Yeah, absolutely. That's okay. What I meant when I say it's easy to extend the olive branch from the penthouse. George Bush can't really directly affect Ellen's life. Ellen has securities. Ellen has certain protections. You know, and I really had to think about this when it comes to the LGBT community, whether I could just have friends who I knew were transphobic. I would have friends comment on posts and they would say transphobic things. Now, I may like this person, but I had to think to myself, trans kids are killing themselves. And it could be this comment on one of my posts that may take that kid over the edge. Doesn't matter if the person's a nice person. Doesn't matter if it's just a difference of opinion. Some differences of opinion lead to people committing suicide.
When the difference of opinion is, I deserve to exist and no, you're not, that's not a difference of opinion.
Right.
That's a life and death situation.
And I think that's the same thing with George Bush. If the difference of opinion is killing people in Iraq...
Right.
We're talking, this is a little, that's not a difference of opinion.
Why is it only that Ellen DeGeneres is being held accountable in this way?
I think other people have been held accountable.
You mean vis-a-vis who?
George W. Bush.
Yeah, because you already brought up Michelle Obama. Yeah,
why is it Ellen DeGeneres needs to be held to account today for this?
I think that other people have been held accountable. I have friends who have critiqued George Bush as
well. Are you talking about Michelle Obama?
Yes.
I'm going to read it. Let me read this email. Got it this morning after I jumped on at 9:20 with Beth Adams, and here's the email I got. Hi, Evan. Please withhold my name because I would probably be run out of town for saying this, but as a black man, almost middle-aged, and as a person of the left, I think the left is screwed. We're acting like Ellen invited George W. Bush to the game herself. She went to a game. He was there. She showed him some kindness. The end. And now it's a national scandal. I think Bush was a disaster. But here's what I'm watching. My friends and allies build walls and declare they're never going to cross them. We don't build bridges. We destroy them now. And Evan, there is some hypocrisy here, don't you think? I'm a big fan of Michelle Obama. How come we didn't try to cancel Michelle Obama for laughing and being kind to George W. Bush? Haven't we read about their special relationship? Yet I hear almost nothing about how terrible she is. Just Ellen. I think it's a mess. Again, don't use my name. Just call me tired. That's the email I got this morning.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Glad he said it.
I think I want to reiterate that I don't think Ellen should be canceled. Like, I love Ellen. Right. I'll still watch Ellen. I don't think she should have been mean to George Bush either. That's not the point I'm making. I'm just making a larger point about what she said in the video and how she simplified it. But I do want to say something about the media, and I don't want to be offensive here, but people have opinions. The media makes those opinions news. People are on Twitter. We didn't have to discuss this YouTube video. I would have thought about it and not thought about it again, right? So we kind of look at people as everyone's just being so mean and rude today. You have news articles where the sources are Twitter accounts. You have a news article where the, you know, the journalist will say, everyone is angry at Kylie Jenner. And what will the source be? Random Twitter accounts from random people. So the media has to take some responsibility in highlighting these random opinions. We all just have some opinions about what Ellen said. No one's boycotting her. No one's protesting about this. We just had these opinions, and a media outlet felt like it was worthy to have a conversation about those opinions.
I think it's fair. And Colin, don't you think there's something to the idea that she is a little glib in the clip? I mean, when Danielle says it's easy to extend the olive branch from the penthouse, I understand the point here. She's not really vulnerable. So to say, hey, just be nice to everybody, when other people are vulnerable, do you see any dissonance there?
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't even like Ellen DeGeneres' show or a comedy. I think it's absolute rubbish.
That's not the point.
I don't like it. I think it was hysterical, though, that she took this political parties claiming to own words like kindness and love and twisted it round. I mean, she's not a class warrior. She's a multimillionaire-ess. Of course she's at the game. Yeah. Of course her running into...
in the owner's suite.
Yeah, exactly. Of course she's all of that. She's not my class fighter. She's not out there fighting battles for me. But I do think that people have to... when you read the comments, you know, you read the comments on what they're saying, individuals calling her, making out that she's a Jew for Hitler. A worthless piece of lack of human being, blah, 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 blah. We're getting a lot of, if you look at those comments, you see there's a lot of hate speech on the so-called left. And when it's coming at a prominent lesbian who's never claimed to be a political leader and any star and who's done exactly the same as top other people like Michelle Obama and Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who went on holiday repeatedly with Justice Scalia, you have to sort of stop and say, you know, are we on the right track here? And I think the guy who wrote in and said, I'm afraid to put my name to this, is onto something. I think we've got to actually have some pushback.
Okay, Penny, let's go back around the table here. So we've digested a lot here. Are we overanalyzing this Ellen clip, or do you think that this is indicative of a divide about how people are currently feeling, not just decorum, but what's acceptable anymore?
I think we're over everythinged.
Okay, well.
Quite frankly. You know, there's always an outrage someplace, and the outrage needle happens to be pointing at Ellen right now. There's so many things that are, I look at a lot of this outrage as people finally having some small measure of power, having a voice finally, and able to be heard. And the louder you scream outrage, the more you get heard. And it's a misuse of power, but it's by people who have not had power and historically that are doing this. So it's understandable. It's not acceptable, but it is understandable. There are so many, this is an overblown situation. This was a 60-year-old woman who's very rich, sitting next to a 70-year-old man who's even richer, sitting in the booth of a family that could, you know, like buy these people twice over. When you look at these, this has very little to do with our reality. As Colin was saying, they're all extraordinarily mainstream people. I think that to me is where my outrage comes from, really. It's that this just happens to be the pressure point that I can point at and say, look at how ridiculous this is. Look at how awful it is that these people who are doing these things. That's where I'm coming from. If I spend time examining myself, I think this is the microcosm of that sort of outrage that we see all around us.
Well, let me read a comment from Stevie Vargas, who does a lot of work here in Rochester, in various spaces, been on this program, and she couldn't join us on the program, but she sent this statement. She said, I think it's harmful to expect people to be friends with or engage people with harmful views. I also think that people who try to apply this philosophy often come from places of privilege. Ellen is a wealthy white woman at the end of the day, and that comes with privileges people like myself do not have. For someone like me and other black and brown people, being friends with people who hold views that harm me, our communities, and our bodies is dangerous, and it only serves to uphold their narrative at our expense. It tells me that you are fine holding space with people who view me as expendable. That comes from Stevie Vargas. What do you think?
I agree with all of that. That's the thing. This is really not a, this is, and as Colin was saying, this is a 1% issue right here that people are putting their own frustrations to. But that is the bottom truth, that exactly what, as I said earlier, when the conversation is, I deserve to exist. No, you don't. How do you have that? These people have removed themselves from that. So it's really hard to look at them and try and suss anything of value out of that relationship for everyday people. It's just something that you can point at to focus your outrage.
And Pastor, you touched on a number of issues that I just got to comment that I don't know if I have permission to read this, so I'm just going to read it without a name. Let me go ahead. Because I think it kind of dovetails with some of the nuance or the complexity that you talked about in your opening remarks. Evan, just listening to Ellen's comments on the air, I think she is talking about interpersonal kindness, but there are deeper issues of systemic unkindness that need to be addressed. And that's what I think, this person says, Daniel Ponder was referring to. A difference between, well, we can be nice to each other if we bump into each other on the street or in a restaurant and at a game, but the larger issues of systemic problems are we're kind of mixing and matching here. And this listener is saying, you know, we're confusing Ellen's comments of be nice to everybody with be accepting of policies that may be harmful of populations. What do you think?
Again, I can only speak as somebody who's probably coming at this from the privileged position, particularly in this room, as the white cis male person of clergy status, et cetera, which in the past has been viewed as kind of a respectable thing. Even if I don't make the kind of money they used to, I still have a place of quote unquote authority. So I can only comment on how I'd like to see people like myself act as allies in those positions, which I would say, first of all, listen to the people who are you're trying to ally with. And if they're saying your presence in this way is hurting me, then we should take that extremely seriously. We don't get to direct the show. We're really, if we want to be an ally, need to be listening and taking very seriously comments that come from outside of our comfort zone or from outside of our class, and people who whose voices are demanding and lamenting and really grieving out loud and trying to get us to hear their stories. I think oftentimes people of privilege would love people like Ellen to make life easier for them to say the same. So if Ellen just gets on glibly, says this and this and this, and this is great, you know, it's the same as an iPhone thing, or it's, you know, me and my buddy are hanging out at the football game. A lot of people feel good about that because it's, oh, you know, I can just kind of be a lifestyle liberal, right? I can kind of sit on my couch and feel good that Ellen said it's okay, and I don't really have to get into the complexities of all that stuff that George Bush did that Trump made me forget about because it's even worse now than it was back then, right? But I mean, at the end of the day, it's still asking the people who have already suffered to suffer more. It's doing the same thing that people are accusing Bush of doing, which is marching out the innocent to take on the fights and the violence and the impact of the rich and the powerful. And, you know, as somebody who is a person of faith, I'm thinking of the story of John the Baptist, who did not come and say, he came based on one of the stories of John the Baptist in the Gospel of John, said, I'm here to prepare the way for someone else. He was the son of a priest. He was someone who was privileged in society and used his privilege to call people to task and to prepare a way so that the voices of those who were ignored and marginalized could be heard more loudly. We can't ask the marginalized to make it easier for the powerful's voice to be heard. If we have a stirring of conscience, if we're aware of a way that we can use our position to try to clear that space for other people, not because we're going to get something great out of it, but because we're going to get a better world where people's voices are actually heard and people's lives aren't threatened because of who they are, I do think we have a responsibility to do that. I can say how I would have liked Ellen to would have respond. I would have liked to think Ellen has this chance to talk to this guy who's had a pretty shady history, a pretty violent history, has been responsible for a lot of things. I don't think she should run out the stadium, but I think she can use that time in a way that might make life better for others.
How do you know she didn't?
I don't know that, right? So that's the point. I don't know. I'm just saying how I would have hoped she would have spent that time, right? And I would have hoped maybe that on her show she could address, here's what I said to the president. I said, we disagree, and here's where we disagree, and I would like to see him do this and this. That's not my place to tell Ellen how she would have thought.
Right.
But I would hope that other people who have that opportunity, who maybe aren't as famous, we have those opportunities every day, whether you're sitting in an all-white boardroom at your corporation downtown, and you have a chance to like clear space so that, you know, other voices can be heard, so other policies can be introduced. Like, you might not get spark a national controversy, but we have that opportunity all the time based on our location that, frankly, because of our system, because of the benefits we have, other people don't. Other people don't have that opportunity. And it's not to say at all we're special because of that. We deserve any kind of recognition. I think it should be done as anonymously and as humbly as possible. But I do think that when that opportunity arises, we need to have the moral courage and the conviction to open up space to say, how can I make myself and my privilege decrease that others may increase, even if it means using my privilege sometimes to do that? But again, as I said at the beginning, always in conversation and listening deeply to, and I would say even being directed by the people who are most impacted and who have suffered the longest from those things, not because it's something that's making my life easier.
I don't think we can enable hate speech. That's, you know, I don't know if you've actually read any of the responses. This started with a photograph.
Right.
And then was a torrent of hate directed. Ellen responded to that. I'm very uncomfortable about this growing tendency of religious people to start intervening into the lesbian and gay community and to back up hate speech in response to people like Ellen with claiming that all the people using the hate speech against one of our top lesbian people entertainers in the country are marginalized voices that need to be amplified. That they are not. Those responses are not enlightened. They may claim to be speaking for the lesbian and gay community, but they're coming from a very dark place.
If I could, though, Colin, because I just want to be fair here. I didn't hear the pastor saying some of the most vitriolic responses are things that he...
It was implied.
I think what he's saying is he's trying to listen.
Yeah, it was implied.
Okay. I'm with you, but I think what I hear from the pastor is it's important to listen to people who are most hurt or people who are most marginalized. And if what they're saying, again, not a single tweet, I'm not sure we're going to parse tweets here. And I understand your point. Some of the stuff is pretty rough out there. But what I hear him saying is let's listen to why people view this moment as being so tough. So I'll ask you then, Colin. Here's a case where people... what I hear people really saying is, Ellen says, just be nice. If you do that, it insulates and protects people who've done a lot of harm. If you don't, it makes people uncomfortable. But maybe that breaks through that outer wall that says, these policies have hurt too many people. That we want to be kind, but you have done damage. And that if we are just kind, it allows you to sort of continue to be insulated and protected after harming so many people. Again, I'm just trying to understand the arguments here, but is there anything to that?
I think the whole kindness thing has been a load of nonsense. It's an absolute media creation.
But you're defending the importance of being kind.
No, I'm not. What I'm saying is we need to recognize there is hate speech coming from the so-called left in the United States, and that it's not just voices of pain crying out. These are dark voices calling for us to adopt a Puritan approach. They want shunning, they want shaming, they want exclusion, they want a lack of tolerance. Nothing that Danielle said is supporting any of that or any of the other guests here. But we must be clear within our own community that we don't support scapegoating. We don't support, and I think on a show you were on, Pastor, You talked about how sometimes people want to absolve themselves of responsibility by scapegoating one individual. For example, George W. Bush, what he did in Iraq was war crimes, just the same as Tony Blair. They have never been held accountable. And when they put forward those proposals, pretty much all of us and all of our elected representatives supported that. We bear collective responsibility. And simply trying to change the narrative and say, Bush is now responsible for all this. Anyone who sits down with him, touches him, smiles at him, is a traitor and needs to be called out and shunned for that action is false. That's not progressive. It's reactionary.
That's interesting. So you're saying bear more responsibility for your own participation in the election of not just George W. Bush, but the people who have led to some of the policies.
Yeah, when Obama came in, there was no accountability for the Iraq war. Everyone said we need to turn the page and heal, just like when Nixon was carted out of office. You know, he needs to be
pardoned. So this is a deflection. This is a deflection.
Isn't that lack of accountability manifested in us all being friends with the administration that led us into the Iraq War?
I think individuals being friends with each other, or how we treat ordinary working people in the supermarket or in a factory or on the street, how are we treating the GM workers on strike today? We have nearly 800 workers on strike with no healthcare benefits, black and white, men and women, on the picket lines 24 hours a day in our own town. But yeah, we're talking about Ellen DeGeneres. It's a joke. You know, you can't be a political activist by tweeting, you know, and if you are going to tweet, don't tweet hate and then tell me that you're a radical. No, you're not.
You know, I think some would say they are intolerant of intolerance.
No, that was Oscar Wilde.
Oscar
Wilde said that the only thing I'm intolerant
I've got a pile of tweets just from this morning of people saying, you're right, I'm not going to tolerate this anymore. I'm intolerant of intolerance.
Yeah, they just want to hold the only lesbian around accountable and hold everybody else to no account. Michelle Obama has never been called on in this way to defend herself for her personal relationship with George W. Bush. Why? And why is Ellen being called to account? I think it's this isn't radical, and I don't like people claiming to be radical, attacking the only famous lesbian in America who just says, hey, we just need to get on, when she's done nothing different from the rest of them. Nothing different.
Okay, hold on. So before Colin's got to go, you want to respond to some of that, Daniel?
Well, one, I would just say I completely agree, like, hateful attacks are uncalled for. I don't think this is that serious at the end of the day. I disagree with Michelle Obama's position as well. I mean, I probably would consider myself much more liberal. So just because a person is a Democrat or a Republican, I still think Obama did awful things in Syria. So I am looking at the impact that it has had on the communities. But I do agree with you. I think some of us on the left go way too far, and it turns into just being violent and being hateful. And I don't think that's constructive at all. But I do think some of the backlash with Ellen is warranted. And it's asking that people see that there was a great impact on people's lives. And this is not something that just can be so easily dismiss. But I also just want to say, and I think I've already said this, people have opinions. It takes people with power to give those opinions a spotlight. The media makes these opinions come to light. These are just random people living their lives, tweeting craziness. But we decide whether or not there's going to be a show about it.
Yep.
So here we are.
All right. So we got to get our only break, because I got to let Colin Coffey go back to work. He's got an appointment at Renewing Massage in about 15 minutes. And as a small business owner, I would not want you to be so rude as to not make that appointment. So, Colin, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
There. And great panel. It's nice to meet you all.
Well, let's get that break. And we're back with Danielle Ponder, Penny Sterling, Reverend Matthew Martin Nikoloff. And I take Danielle's point. I mean, there's a million things we could talk about. The reason I wanted to talk about this is I think it does crystallize this moment of sensitivity where everything feels so sensitive. And the question is, what does kindness actually do in 2019? And what's expected of us? What's the right thing to do? Back to your emails next. I'm Evan Dawson. Wednesday on The Next Connections, the town of Pittsford is having a debate about desegregation, and it's a hot election issue. We talked to some of the leaders about their thoughts on the future of Pittsford and what segregation looks like in 2019. In our second hour, what does it take to be an artist in 2019? We sit down with artists in a variety of media discussing their work, how they make money, and more. Talk with you on Wednesday. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. So here's some feedback. Jared says, Evan, I just want to weigh in on Ellen's relationship with Barack Obama. I'm not sure using the particular argument that George Bush killed people, therefore she should not talk to him or be nice to him, is a sound argument. Thousands of civilians died during Barack Obama's administration from drone strikes. He was no saint, and he was not all that LGBTQ friendly, at least not initially. Should we cancel Obama too? That's from Jared. I would just say to Jared, I understand the frustration that some people have that sort of makes politics like this left-right good-bad game and assumes that Barack Obama was not responsible for any decisions that might have led to war or drone strikes or death, the LGBTQ impact of his early policy, frankly, what happened at the border. I mean, you talk to people in immigration rights, and they called Obama deporter-in-chief. And it felt like people like Colin Coffey, I think, would argue that the left wasn't responsible enough for that. So I take Jared's point there about why that's being viewed with some frustration. And then Angela wants to know, do your guests support shaming people out of restaurants? If they saw Mitch McConnell in a restaurant, would they shame him out the door? Penny?
I don't know if shaming is the right word, but I don't know if I could. Mitch McConnell, I could probably pick out of a lineup, but most of them I probably could not.
Donald Trump's children having dinner in a restaurant that you happen to be in.
I would probably be okay with shaming them out of the restaurant. I would probably not. Why am I throwing probably there? I would be okay with that. I'd probably be standing up and yelling at them. That's a little bit different than being a person with weight and value in community, as Ellen is, sitting next to the president, a former president of the United States. And besides, if people are doing that, they get to do that. And there's no laws against any of this stuff. It's what are you comfortable doing? I would be perfectly comfortable hearing people yell him out of a restaurant.
Okay, Daniel.
I would not do it myself personally. I would probably be amused, though, if I watched it happening. But I do believe, like, you know, you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. And if you have those type of policies, it might result in you being yelled at. But I do agree with that caller that this red-blue divide is kind of troublesome because we have folks that we idolize or we want to carry these myths about who are enacting harmful policies as well. Sometimes I wonder if a Democrat becomes president in 2020, will we just go back to business as usual and stop critiquing and analyze what's happening with the people who are in power? So the one thing that Americans do is they love myths. The fact that we could have a Thomas Jefferson High School, a slave owner that is filled with black children is crazy, right? But we have this mythology about who Thomas Jefferson was, about who George Washington was, and we don't really have we don't face reality. We don't do enough of that. I just wanted to say this last thing. I, as a public defender, was in front of a judge who was awful to my clients. She was rude. She was sending people to jail. Basically, if you walked into that court, you were walking into jail at some point. And everyone off the bench, she was so nice. She wanted to talk about my earrings. She wanted to talk about hair. She wanted to talk about all of these things. And at some point, I decided not to engage with her in that way because I just remember being up at the bench, chit-chatting, girl talk, while my client is sitting there knowing that this is one of the worst judges in city court, knowing that she's likely to go to jail. And that for me, it was so easy for me as a person of privilege who didn't have to worry about jail to be kind and just, you know, kiki with her. But I had to make a decision that, no, I think from now on, she needs to feel uncomfortable. She's putting people in jail for small offenses. She shouldn't have a court that just feels so nice and friendly and we can all hang out and back. So I really had to put up a wall and not have that relationship with her, not have that relationship that almost made it seem like what you're doing is normal and what you're doing is okay.
Not because you wanted to be unkind unnecessarily, but because you felt like it was the best mechanism in that moment for helping maybe break through.
Yes. I knew that whether I was nice to her or not, she wouldn't change what she did to my client, okay. Right? So there's obviously some judges you are nice to because you need things from them. But this judge has a pretty clear record of being mean to just about anyone. So for me, it just became important to stand in solidarity with my client. And she wanted to talk to me and engage with me because she didn't see me as a criminal. She didn't see me as someone who was less than, right? But I could not continue to engage in that way because she needed to feel a sense of being uncomfortable in that courtroom. And I had to make her uncomfortable so she could see what she was doing was impacting people. And every time I went up to talk about earrings, I was making it seem like this was just a normal day. And every time we tell people to be kind to dictators or be kind, not dictators, be kind to people who have killed thousands of people through their policies, maybe we're suggesting that this is okay. Like this is, there's no problem here. So.
How does that impact you? I know you said you came here to really listen. Where do you find yourself? What direction you find yourself moving in, Pastor?
I think that if I'm speaking personally, I am a person of German descent in the Lutheran Church, which has all sorts of baggage. You might have heard about it from the 1930s. I think that anti-Semitism and Nazism being illegal in Germany is a good thing. I think any ideology that has as its end the elimination of someone else's humanity is not perpetuating democracy. It's not free speech. It is hate speech. And so I unequivocally want to agree with Colin that hate speech, especially in an institutional form, should not be tolerated. There's some things that aren't tolerated in order for the sake of people's humanity and their dignity. At the same time, I do think... I'm thinking about this from almost the mirror side of it, right? A few years ago, the son of a Lutheran bishop in South Carolina shot up a church in Charleston, South Carolina. And when people immediately say, we should just forgive. You need to just forgive the people who did this to you. I'm a Christian. One of Jesus's most radical, difficult, as we're seeing from things like this, commandments is to love our enemies and to forgive those who persecute us. That's a difficult teaching. It's one of the reasons why there's fewer real Christians in the world than probably we recognize, because it's hard to do that. It's a choice I can strive for in my own life. It's a choice I can invite the people who have placed themselves in community with me to do as much as they're able. It's not a choice I can impose on somebody else's experience and say, you are hurting. You need this expression of lamentation, which has not been granted to you. You need this way to express your story and your rage. You're not doing it in an institutionalized way. You're not trying to make it the law of the land. You are responding to something that touched trauma or a trigger in your life. That's different to me. I don't like it. If there were people in my church, I might say, hey, I noticed you were really upset and you used some really hateful, strong language. Tell me about that. That's a relational response. I think that is a kindness. I've had people do the same thing for me. I think, though, if it's something that, say, the government or groups mm-hmm. at large are mm-hmm. using to systematically eliminate others' humanity, then it is absolutely intolerable and should be not just passively tolerated or put to the fringe, but should be named as something that is not just against, in my opinion, divine law, but also against human dignity.
Okay, Penny?
There's a difference between forgiveness and absolution.
Yeah.
There is a difference between me forgiving somebody who has done something to me, something egregious, and saying, no, you don't need to pay for your sins. You don't need to have any atonement. There is a difference between there. There's a difference between kindness and being nice. Nice is oftentimes a shield that you use to keep people from feeling uncomfortable. Sometimes the kindest thing you can do is to make someone feel uncomfortable. And sometimes you need to figure out who you need to be kind to. Does it need to be kind to the person that's in front of me, or the person that do I need to be kind to the people that this person may be hurting? And can I still be polite and not be kind to that person? There's a whole bunch of terms that are getting conflated here, and I want to make sure that that's not what I'm saying. You can be kind to to the person sitting next to you without absolving him from his guilt, without expecting him to hold him accountable. As a stand-up comedian, lesbian stand-up comedian, there's not anything that Ellen could do to the man that was sitting next to him that's going to change anything. She can't take him to criminal court. She can't do anything. She's just sitting next to the guy. The outrage about the fact that she was sitting next to the guy, I understand that. I think it's somewhat misdirected, but I certainly understand that anger. I do not accept the fury and the cancel culture and the anger that is directed towards her. There are differences between these things, and they're very fine, and they need to be discerned.
All right, last point as we close the hour, Daniel Ponder. If we have friends who hold these views, and you've talked about it in your own life, can we be kind while still challenging them? Can kindness not always just mean acceptance and space for them to not be feel challenged or uncomfortable?
Yeah, absolutely. I think in this scenario, her kindness was sitting, laughing, and talking with him at a game. Her lack of challenging him is what she said the following day.
Agreed.
So I don't have any issue with her sitting, talking, chatting, whatever. He's a human being. But I personally would not have friends in my life that have views that would directly impact me. I already have to walk through this world as a Black person. I already have to deal with strangers who think I am less than. So why would I want friends in my life who may hold some of those views or think that marginalized people are less than? So, I mean, you have to decide what you have time for. And I think that's probably like the biggest takeaway for me. Some people have the time to sit, and I spent 8 years as a racial justice trainer where I spoke to white folks about racial inequities. I started a cultural broker dialogue session. I get this. I had to stop that at some point because it was killing me. It was becoming such a heaviness for me.
Daniel Ponder, Penny Sterling, Pastor Nicola, thanks to all of you, and Colin Coffey as well, for this conversation. And our thanks to Rob, Megan, and everyone else. I'm Evan. Talk to you tomorrow.